Well, welcome everyone to the first Friday of the month, Global Water Healing Meditation. Thank you all for being here. My name is Mary Getten, and I will be your host today. Before I introduce our meditation leader today and tell you a little bit about her, I want to finish up a conversation that we had at the end of our meditation in July, last month. Someone had asked me about my whale friend, Granny, and if I've heard from her lately about the state of the oceans. And so I did sit down, and I'm going to just read to you that conversation. And it is also posted on the website, globalwaterhealing.org, under, I think it's Messages from the Sea. So I asked her if she was still in spirit, and she said yes, that she decided she wanted to spend more time there. And I said, doing what? And she said, I'm part of a council of beings. There are many things we are involved in, not just on Earth, but throughout the galaxy. So I asked her, do you know what's happening on Earth now? Are you aware of J-POD or the state of the oceans? And she said, yes, I'm aware that J-POD is not doing well. They have had to shift their home waters to find food, and their health is not very good either. It makes me sad, but it's the way of the world. Things are very much in flux on planet Earth. The times ahead will be tumultuous, but eventually it will work out. So do not despair. Things will turn around in the end. So I asked, what about the oceans? Do you see any signs of hope for the oceans? Are the meditations helping? And she said, yes, of course the meditations are helping. Do you not see the new technologies that are cleaning up the garbage? Have you not noticed the scientific discoveries that are creating new types of coral? There are positive and negative things happening all the time. But do not despair. The meditation work is holding a very deep vibration of perfection for all water, and that is facilitating positive change. I am so grateful that you're still doing them. They really are helpful. I spent many lifetimes in the sea. I saw things get worse and get better, then get worse and better again, always changing. Working in the etheric realm as you do contributes in a way that cannot be measured by humans. But let me tell you, it does make a huge difference. Never doubt that. So then I told her that our book, Communicating with Orcas, is being published later this year in Japan, and that it will have a new life there. So don't be surprised if people start calling out to you again. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. I'm happy to hear this. I hope it will open some hearts and minds while I am no longer actively focused on the earth. I am always happy to connect with interested souls. Perhaps I can help them in some way. When someone calls on me with an earnest heart, I will always answer. So I said, thank you, Granny. Is there anything else you'd like to say? And she said, I love you and all the people who participate in the meditations. You answered my call from many years ago and took it to heart. This work is so needed today and will be for a long time. Keep at it for as long as you can. Blessings to you all. So that was our message from Granny. I know I hadn't given you any messages from her in quite a while. And you can just let that sink in today. And like I said, it's on the website if you want to go back and read it at another time. So I am excited to have Jillian Rutledge here today. Jillian is really cool lady. She's a transformational coach, a breathing specialist, a free diving instructor. And, you know, her conscious connection with water expanded over 25 years ago when she really became a student of dolphins. And, you know, the dolphins are really masterful teachers, and they inspired Jillian to know that water, air, and all of the Earth's elements are intelligent sources of energy that give us vital nutrients to live a healthy and abundant life. And Jillian combines her wisdom, her techniques, and intuition to partner with others to free flow with the elements, allowing people to live into their full potential. And she also is an awesome underwater dancer with dolphins. So it's really nice to have you here today, Jillian. And I'm anxious to see what you've got for us.
Oh, thank you, Mary. It is so special to be a part of this. And I'm very, very, very grateful to you and all of you members that have been coming every month to allow me into this space and to allow me to share what's coming through me. And I have to share this. I'm sitting here in my house on Vancouver Island looking out the window into the ocean, and I'm just seeing humpback whale after humpback whale after humpback whale breaching breathing.
Oh, that's so great.
Right? It looks sort of like a celebration, and the way the air is, and I wish I could show you a picture. Every time they breathe, it's this beautiful, misty-looking boat that sprays up.
Well, they're definitely here to lend their energy today, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
So I just wanted to bring that to all of us, too, the humpbacks. I mean, of course, they're cetaceans are with many of us. But they're here in the physical too. So yeah, today, you know, thank you for the message from Granny. I did not participate in the last call, so I wasn't aware of the question, but it really just impacted me in a way of what came through for today's meditation, because one of the things that water constantly reminds me is that it is a mirror for the waters within. And there are many ways to spend time with water and many ways to take care of the waters on this planet. And, of course, whatever we feel moved and called to do is what we need to heed. And at the same time, recognizing that the waters within us are just as important as the waters on the outside of us. And so with that, I invite you to find a position that you can be comfortable in for a bit. And to just arrive at this moment right now, to settle in, to feel that dropping down feeling, and begin to feel yourself from inside your body. From within you, feel your feet on the ground beneath you. From the inside of your skin, feel the air touching it. And from the inside, notice your breath. Just notice it, not change it, notice it. But notice that when you sit here in stillness, there is something always moving. You breathe in, and you breathe out. The heart beats, the pulse pulses, the fluid moves. There is always this ebb and flow in life. Today, we're going to spend some time with this movement, this rhythm that is especially present in our relationship with water. We're not only going to just think about water and appreciate water, but the invitation is to remember our relationship with it. Starting with the water that is all around us. The water that has carried us, humans, through our existence. And then eventually we'll travel to the waters within us. So please go ahead and take one slow, deep, full breath in. And as you exhale, allow yourself to become available to wonder. Before there was you, there was water. Before today, in this gathering, and before our bodies, before all of our stories and our names, water was moving across this planet. The oceans were rising and falling. Rain became rivers. Rivers became oceans. Oceans became clouds. And clouds became rain. Again and again and again. Imagine all of the great waters of this earth. The Pacific. The Atlantic. The Indian. The Arctic. The Southern Ocean. Vast, vast waters. And now imagine the rivers. The rivers winding across the continents. Heading into the mountains and the glaciers holding the ancient waters in silence. Moving deep within the earth, the underground aquifers that move beneath what seems like unmovable landscapes. And then there's the morning dew that collects on the leaves and the grass. There's the mist that hangs over the great forest. And when it rains in the desert, it just swallows it up. And there's snow that gathers very quietly on the tops of the mountains. Water is everywhere. It is always moving, changing form, and connecting. What we call one drop of water is only a temporary shape. It becomes a cloud, then rain, then a river, ocean, blood, tears, breath. And the water you're holding in your glass today is all part of that story. When you look at that water in the glass, You don't know everywhere that it has been. Perhaps some of its molecules once moved through that glacier. Maybe it was a part of the ancient oceans. Or moved through the body of the whales. Maybe it was in the roots of a 1,000-year-old redwood tree. Perhaps it even fell on the landscape that no longer seemed to exist today. We will not really know where this water has been, and there's kind of something beautiful in not knowing. Because water reminds us that life is not composed of the only things. That life is composed of connections, relationships, movement, exchange. And so before we ask anything of water, before we bless it, before we drink it, we begin with gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, rain. Thank you, rivers. Thank you, oceans. Thank you, clouds, snow. Thank you for the water beneath the earth. Thank you for every watershed that's quietly been sustaining life. Thank you for every spring that emerges up through the stones. And thank you for every drop we have consumed without remembering the miracle of it. Thank you, water. And with this gratitude, I invite you to remember water not as something outside of you, but somewhere you have been. A destination, a location. Remember the water that you've been in. Remember the moment when you first entered it. It might have been the ocean, a lake, a river. Maybe it was a swimming pool. Could have even been a warm bath. Choose a memory and enter in. Remember the first sensation of when water touched your body. The change in the temperature, the pressure against your skin. Maybe you can even remember the moment where gravity seemed to loosen its grip to buoyancy. Notice what happens when you move through water. On land, we can sometimes force our power into our environment. In water, the relationship changes. Water immediately gives us feedback. If you become rigid, you'll feel the resistance. When we struggle in water, everything becomes harder. Soften, and suddenly something changes. The water will begin to hold you. There is an intelligence required to move through water. It's not the thinking kind of intelligence. It's the intelligence of relationship, listening, responding, adjusting, adapting, feeling. This is called aquaticity. And it's not just our ability to swim. It's the capacity to belong in water, to know it through our body. To recognize that movement is not imposed upon water, that it can be a conversation with it. If you have ever watched a dolphin move, and I'm pretty sure most of you have witnessed this conversation between being and water. There seems to be no argument between dolphins and the ocean. There's no separation between movement and the environment. The body curves and the water responds. And that dolphin responds to the water. That movement becomes relationship. Maybe you've even experienced a moment like this, being dolphin-like yourself. The moment when you stopped trying to swim and you just moved, the effort disappeared. Your body seemed to understand something before your mind did. When you're no longer moving through the water, but with it. This is one of the great teachings water offers us. That we cannot dominate water and make it support us, but we can enter into relationship with it. And perhaps this is true of life, all life. As well. Now I invite you to consider something else. Sometimes we think that it's very quiet in the ocean. And if you've ever spent any time underwater, it's not as quiet as you might think it is. There is a type of silence, but water is also an extraordinary medium for communication. Sound travels through it, pressure travels through it, vibration travels through it. All of that movement is information. And so back to that dolphin. She is not experiencing the ocean as a scenery. The water carries information. A movement somewhere else becomes a pressure wave over here. A sound produced in one body travels outward through the water and reaches another. For whales, it can happen around the entire globe. The ocean is continually communicating. So if you imagine yourself under water, you're safe, you're protected, and everything around you is connected through that same medium, that there's no empty space between you and the ocean, because the water touches every part of you. Your movement becomes a ripple in that water. That ripple becomes information. And that information becomes something someone else responds to. So there's this relationship, this exchange. And when we turn our understanding of this inward to the ocean within, we carry it everywhere then. Your heartbeat becomes fluid. Your breath changes the pressure. Your muscles create movement. Your nervous system generates electrical activity and is conductive. Your hormones and chemical messengers move through this fluid environment. And your cells exist within an extraordinarily dynamic, watery world. And so perhaps we might imagine that our body is not simply a collection of a bunch of parts, but like the ocean, it's an ecosystem of communication occurring largely through water. Billions of cells receiving information. These waters inside of us are not just still. They're participating in life right now. So now I invite you to continue to bring your awareness completely inside of you. We explored the oceans and water outside. Shift your awareness through your heartbeat. You might place your hand over your heart, maybe a pulse. Feel the expansion and contraction of your breathing. With your heartbeat. Feel the rhythm of this movement. As you breathe in, the pressure changes. As you breathe out, the fluid moves. Going further within, deeper within the body, there are trillions of cells, each living in their own environment of water. There is water around the cells. There is water within the cells. Water interfacing with the membranes, the connective tissues, the molecules, the architecture of our bodies. When we realize how much water is inside of us, the outside ocean can suddenly begin to not feel so separate and foreign. It's the same molecule. H2O. And you have been drinking this H2O, the earth, your entire life. The waters of this planet have crossed the boundaries of your lips and entered into your bloodstream, moved through your tissues, played a part in your chemistry, and became a part of you. And as we contemplate this, we can ask the questions, where exactly does the outside water end and the inside begin? And remaining in this curious place, we arrive at a beautiful edge of wonderment in science and biology. There's something researchers have observed about water near certain surfaces. What they have seen is that water does not always behave exactly like water sitting in the middle of your glass. Near certain surfaces that interact strongly with water, the H2O starts to organize differently. It organizes and has properties that are different from all other water. And it's near these surfaces where water structures itself in ways science has yet to fully understand. And yet, we know this structure when we bring our awareness even deeper inside of us and let go of needing to understand. I invite you to use your imagination as we wonder further about this really special water. So imagine yourself becoming very, very, very small. Small enough that you can enter into the landscape of your own body and travel through your blood vessels. Continue to become smaller and smaller until you're small enough to approach a single living cell. And as you move closer to this cell, notice that it's not just surrounded by water, but that the water is meeting up with something. It's meeting up with a membrane, a living surface. And at every one of these meeting places, this interface, there's a relationship. The water that's closest to this surface is beginning to respond to it. All the molecules, the H2O, is reorientating. The hydrogen, the H, the bonds are forming and reforming. And this water becomes a little more organized, more ordered, layer upon layer. And it's not rigid. It remains fluid. Alive with movement. But it is definitely different from the water that's further away from it. Now imagine that this is not just happening to this one cell, but that it's happening to every cell throughout you, through along the membranes, through all the fascia, billions upon billions of tiny interfaces where water is meeting life. And where water meets life, something miraculous happens. Light. Light happens. Not simply the light we see with our eyes, but this radiant energy. So imagine this warmth touching you, a quiet infrared warmth of sunlight. The energy that's traveling into the watery landscape of your body is light. And what if light participates in this reorganization of this structured water? And so it's as though light itself contributes energy to this relationship. Now, with your imagination still, further explore something extraordinary happening. There's an electrical charge that begins to form. It's a form of potential. It's stored up energy, this light, this water. And it's like countless microscopic batteries quietly forming wherever water meets these conditions. So what if the water within us is doing far more than filling up space? Perhaps it's creating this electrical light landscape of light. And if you can believe it, we're going to go a little deeper. We were on the outside of the cell looking at the membrane and the structure of water. Now I invite you to enter directly into one of your cells. And even if you have no idea what this would even look like, you have full permission to imagine it. Maybe it's a cartoon. Maybe it's like composing music or art. We're going to move towards something specific inside the cell called your mitochondria. We usually know the mitochondria as a body that produces energy, ATP. It uses food and oxygen delivered by your breath to create cellular respiration. It's a fascinating process. And at the end of this extraordinary process, new water is formed. New water. Water is created inside of you. Metabolic water. Brand new molecules of H2O begin appearing within your cells. And some of this water becomes a part of this fascinating structured water that surrounds the living surfaces. Imagine with every breath This breath brings oxygen to the cell, into the mitochondria, who transforms energy. Water is then born, meeting up with living surfaces. These living surfaces organizes and structures the water, creating light, creating electricity. The potential energy begins to build. And so perhaps, as science tends to tell us, that the cell doesn't look like a machine sitting in water anymore, but that it is an entire ecosystem of energy, all influencing one another and in relationship. Each cell, a little miracle. Now we're going to begin to step away from this microscopic place and expand our awareness out from the mitochondria, out to the cells, from the one cell to the billions of cells. And imagine that these billions of cells form this illuminated body, not just with bright light, but with this quiet vitality. And so maybe this might even change the way we think about how we hydrate this body of light. Perhaps hydration is not only about how much water we put in this body, but perhaps we could also ask, what is my relationship with the water within me, the water that is structured and the water that is being created? For me, this is a moment of awe. And with this feeling of awe and wonderment, let's return to our breathing. Return to your bigger body from within, the lungs and the heart. Allowing your breath to move in and out. The tides of this inner ocean, ebbing and flowing, and as you're bringing your awareness back to your body, back to the chair or structure holding you, I invite you to turn your attention to the water in your glass or in the vessel. And let's not drink it yet, but if you haven't already picked it up and are holding it, please do. And it's okay if you're still in a state of deep cellular tininess. Just stay soft and gentle while you hold your water and feel its weight. Sometimes we can think water is so ordinary, but it is utterly extraordinary at the tiniest and largest places. Because there are places on this planet where people walk for hours to get water. There are rivers that have sustained civilizations for thousands of years. There's watersheds that entire ecosystems depend upon. There are animals who migrate thousands of kilometers through the ocean. And there are forests that pull water from the soil to release it up into the atmosphere. And somehow this water has arrived in your hands. So I'm wondering that maybe blessing water isn't about changing water. Perhaps it begins by allowing the water to change our relationship with it, from it being a commodity or something we consume to a gift, to something we're in relationship with. So if it feels natural, please bring the water closer to your heart. And silently or aloud, offer your gratitude. Thank you, water, for sustaining me. Thank you for carrying life. Thank you for moving through this earth long before me and continuing long after me. Thank you for the oceans, the rain, the rivers, the snow. Thank you for the waters beneath the ground, inside every plant, every animal, and every human being. And in return, I offer you this blessing. May the rivers be protected. The oceans be respected. May the glaciers be remembered. And the rain be welcomed. May clean water be available to every living being. May we remember that what we do to the waters of this planet, we ultimately do to ourselves. May we meet water again and again and again with gratitude, curiosity, humility, and with reverence. And before you bring the water to your lips, before you take a drink, take one breath and feel into what your body is about to receive. The outer water meeting the inner water, this great hydrological cycle, water changing shape and form. And please go ahead and drink slowly. Feel it entering you. It's no longer something separate from you. Becoming part of your circulation, your chemistry, and life. There really never was an outer ocean and an inner ocean. It's just water moving through different forms. And for a little while, some of it becomes us. Thank you.
Wow, thank you, Jillian. That was quite the journey.
We went pretty deep, didn't we?
We did. We went really deep.
Not only am I a free diver in the ocean, I like to dive deep inside ourselves.
Yeah, I guess. You took me to places I've never been before. So that was...
Well, that's kind of fun. I hope you felt good about it.
No, I do. I do. I feel really good about it. I feel like you know, my relationship with water has changed. Yeah, I mean, just plain and simple, because I understand it better, and I was able to meet it on a different level than I generally do. So, yeah, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have to thank water, because I really feel like that's who gave me the words to share.
Yeah. Right, like the water spoke through you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. If there's someone here that would like to share something quick, we've got about 5 minutes before our call ends. So unmute yourself and tell us your name. Yeah, they're all still out there.
And or in there.
In there. In there.
I've always found it so fascinating. I do love good science and the biology and the quantum physics of life. And so to think about water and breath and light is so fascinating to me.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Hi, who
Hello.
Wanted to say? Hi, go ahead.
It's Diane. Just two things. I wanted to thank you for telling me about the mitochondria creating water, because I heard that it takes over a year to recreate the human body, and I never really understood until that was the essential key, is that, you know, in water, then recreation can happen of the body. And then when I drank the water, it was completely different. It was like an elixir. And I could see, it would be sparkling. I could just feel. So thank you. It was a blessing. That's all.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Diane, for sharing that.
Yes. If I didn't say, you can *6 to unmute yourself if you're on a phone.
Hi, this is Linda. I once attended something, somebody was talking about the fourth stage of water, and I think that's what you were talking about.
Absolutely, Linda. The plasma.
I've forgotten what it was called, but they still talk about the four stages of water, and I can't remember what exactly they called it. So that was very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. There is a theory that is hypothesized about a type of water that's the structured water. So most people refer to it as structured water. But there's also a name for it that's easy water. And my mind right now is blanking on what easy stands for, but it's like the letter E and the letter Z. I wanted to say Z because I'm Canadian, but I remembered that.
I would say Z as well because I'm British.
Oh, yes, you would. Yes, you would. And so, but this easy water is the water that, exclusion zone water. And that's the name for this location. You know, it's so complex. And so in the meditation, I just wanted us to feel the movement of it and the creation. But this water is just outside the membranes of the cells, and that's where it structures differently. And some people believe that it might even structure into H3O2. So
cool.
It's there's still a lot to discover about it, and different modalities speak about it in different ways. And, you know, like a lot of science that hasn't caught up, when we talk about it metaphysically, often it's more symbolic and metaphorical, and we speak about it in terms of auras and energies, and that's kind of still where we're at with this structured water.
Mm. Well, thank you. That was very interesting and quite an experience.
Thank you.
Yeah,
this is Saskia from the Netherlands. And I actually experienced this structured water when we went inside a cell in our body. At least I went inside a cell. And that's where you also find the exclusion zones, which are layers of water along a surface. And they have, it's actually sheets of water that's, that are in hexagon form. So sheets of hexagons of water molecules. And
Thank you.
But water can really take on beautiful geometric forms, also around ions of the minerals that we take in with the food, and around small molecules, etc. So these beautiful spatial geometrical forms, that's what I also saw. And also around DNA, there's a spiral of water. And because the double helix of DNA leaves a space for a third helix, and a third helix is water.
Mm-hmm.
Just a chain of H2O molecules that are, that are holding each other, so the plus charge attracting the minus of the oxygen attracting the minus charge of the hydrogen. And so it can form a chain, a spiral chain around the DNA.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And all that energy, that electrical energy in there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Water is very electrical. And the four states of water, so in the exclusion zones and around the ions and DNA, etc., they're actually the electrons. They can just hop from one molecule to the other, and it's actually a plasma. And that's how I experience the water in my cells and also along the rocks in rivers, etc., the plasma.
Yes.
Thank you, Saskia, our biologist. Okay.
Hello, this is Elka. I just wanted to add something as I was journeying along with this beautiful meditation. The word mitakoyeo yasin came through, which is the Lakota word for we're all in relation. Mm-hmm. We're all in relation, and they call Mother Earth the blue altar, and they ask us to walk on this blue altar with respect, dignity, and awareness. And it's all the water. And they're in places where they don't have that much water, and yet it is still given to them. And so thank you for bringing this all together.
Thanks, Elka.
And thank you for bringing that piece in, the relations, all my relations. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you, everyone, for being here today. Thank you again, Jillian, for a wonderful meditation. Very different and brought in a whole new perspective for us. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Before we close, I want to say that next month, September 4th, our leader will be Takara Scheller. A lot of you know Takara, and I will be hosting the call from Dublin, Ireland. So if something happens and I disappear or something, you'll know I'm not in my normal space. So I'm just trusting that everything is going to work fine, and I can host the call from there. So blessings to all of you for a fabulous month. Thank you again, Jillian. I'm going to unmute the call so everyone can say their chaotic goodbye.
Love you, Jillian.
Bye.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love for the beauty.
Happy trails.
One more talk for you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Until next time.